Welcome into the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. I am Sterling Holmes. There is a beard, and it's not Matt Connor. This is Josh Briscoe from Only Weird Games over there on KCSN. Briscoe, how you doing?
Sterling, it is beautiful to see your unfortunately clean-shaven face. I was hoping I'd get a little stew stash today, but other than that, I'm excited to hang out and talk about quote-unquote Chiefs football with you for the next quote-unquote little bit and see where all that ends up bringing us. Thank you for having me.
I think the main Chiefs news to break down is Justin Reed going to be the new kicker? As Briscoe decides to drop stuff right now. I mean,
again, my phone's out of my pocket. It's been a busy day.
No, look at you. We're classy now. You're wearing a quarter zip, which I've never seen you wear.
I'm wearing a half zip. It goes down. You see how far down it goes here?
Oh, that's to the navel.
It's a nearly a navel zip, so I don't feel like I'm Manning. I feel like I'm the coolest Manning brother in this fit. You, however, straight out of the Peaky Blinders.
We got a sweater vest rocking for the folks that are audio only. I look like I'm from 1940s, about to talk only in that accent, which I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do that because no one wants to hear me do a 1940s accent. Briscoe, it is very good to see you. Let's get into some rule changes around the NFL. One I love, one I hate. I think I want to preface this by saying change is scary for everyone. Change is not something that I think the majority of people like to admit is a good thing. Your initial reaction, and a lot of times mine is too, Briscoe knows, he always laughed at me being 80 years old when it comes to baseball. But your initial reaction to change is to say, why are you messing with my game? Why are you messing with something that I grew up watching, loving, and enjoying? It's not broken. I'm not the one affected by this. So why are you trying to stick your grubby little fingers in here and change it? Well, I have that feeling about one rule change. And another rule change, I think, you know what? Earmuffs, kids. Fuck it. Let's try it. It's going to be awesome.
Oh! This is an F-bomb show already. It's three minutes in.
We're not on radio. Yeah, you've never heard an F-bomb from a dude wearing a sweater vest before.
I've never heard you curse at all before today.
Well, we do a lot of 8-10 stuff, so you know.
Do you want a little bit of NFL news that just broke during your open there that makes me a little sad?
I would love it. I would absolutely love this.
Cordarrelle Patterson has reached an agreement to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, reuniting with Arthur Smith. I was legitimately getting this is where we're at in the offseason for me. I'm sorry to change the course so quickly already. It feels like I haven't done this in almost a month for you. But I was like about halfway there to bleep. Yeah. Cordarrelle Patterson time. Like we got new weird kickoffs. The Chiefs have got some room on the running back depth chart. The Chiefs love a gadgety kind of guy. Cordarrelle Patterson to the Chiefs made a ton of sense. He's going to the Steelers. 2-year deal. Apparently. There you go. Update for you all. Breaking NFL news
of this new kickoff rule. Cordarrelle Patterson was the one guy I'm looking at saying, yeah, he makes the most sense. Cause let me get into the rules in one moment. But before
I'm pretty confident I know what your like and dislike rules are. I feel like I could nail that guess.
Oh, do you? You're pretty sure?
Yeah. I think you think that the kickoff rule is going to be mostly fun and bring a little bit of neat chaos. And I think you're mad about the hip drop tackle because every defender's mad about the hip drop tackle.
Nailed it. Yeah, let's start with the positive because we're 3 o'clock in the afternoon. F-bomb's already been dropped. I got a third cup of coffee. It's time to party, boys. So where I'm at with the new kickoff rule, I get people who are upset by it because they're like, it looks gimmicky. It looks, XFL. That's because they took a book out of the XFL's playbook. And I actually enjoy this. I'm all for having kickoffs actually happen and not just 80% plus be touchbacks. How many kickoffs were returned in the Super Bowl, Briscoe?
Was it zero?
It was zero. So
the Chiefs had 12 all of last regular season, 12 kickoff returns.
And for the people that wanted to go back to normal, well, have you ever talked to a former NFL player who did kickoffs? Yeah, it sucks. They all hated it. You're running full speed, 50 yards downfield into an absolute collision. So that's not going to work either in the spirit of the NFL trying to make it safer in air quotes, because we know the NFL really cares about money and not necessarily about safety, at least allegedly. So I'm sitting here
going, didn't care about player safety would do something crazy like play two games on a Wednesday this year. So I feel like you might need to rescind that.
I'm just excited by this because we actually get to see kickoffs matter, and there's a lot more strategy. I think Dave Tobe is going to be an absolute mastermind in regard to this. I will say it's going to have a little bit of an impact on who you put back there. Do you put back a running back, a guy who has good vision because you're not necessarily needing the top end speed? You're needing someone who's used to reading blocks. I think that's the way I would go instead of a wide receiver.
Change your blockers. It'll change your whole personnel.
I just find this to be a new fascinating aspect to the game. Now, for those of you that want to understand the rules, well, buckle in, good luck, because it seems like ESPN and other websites, they don't even know what the rule exactly is. There's actually a little bit of back and forth here. Kickers will continue to kick from the 35-yard line, and the other 10 players on the kickoff team will line up at the receiving team's 40-yard line. At least 9 members of the return team will line up in a setup zone between the 35 and 30 yard lines. Up to 2 returners can line up in the landing zone, which is between the goal line and the 20. So basically what you have are 1 or 2 returners lined up from the goal line to the 20. If you are a return team, you can line up at either the 35 or the 30, anywhere between there. And what can you do? Well, you can decide, that's what I'm going to try and block. No other player than the kicker or returner can move until the ball hits the ground or hits a player in the landing zone. So what that means is you can't just try and hit a line drive and hit the guy in front of you and pick it up. That does not count. That will not fly. So touchbacks will now be marked at the 30. I've also seen some websites say the 35. That's where some of the disconnect has come in.
The rule pitch or whatever was 35, but 30, that seemed excessive to me. I'm on it. I got an email from the NFL earlier today.
Yeah. So ESPN says 30. Okay. And this is the issue I had with Ian McMillan earlier when we were doing the Stack in the Box podcast. No one knows for sure if it's 35 or 30. There's multiple sources that say 35 and multiple sources that say 30. I think 30 makes the most sense. Also, no fair catches. No fair catches are allowed on the new kickoff. In the event that a team wants to entertain an attempt in onside kick, it has to inform the opposing team and the officials that they're going to do an onside kick. They're going back to the traditional onside kick method, which also allows you for a little bit more mobility, 6 on one side, 4 on the other. Don't have to have a power stack. That's the way I read that.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I think it looks weird and it sounds convoluted, but is actually probably good. That's sort of my full rationale of it, where if you look at that graph with like the different color coded zones, it looks like nonsense. It really does. And I'm not as afraid of change as you are, but like, it looks like all of a sudden you're talking about like touch football, laser tag rules. It doesn't make any sense. Watch an XFL kickoff and it starts to come together. Guys are already, return guys at this point now, are already by and large putting their heels on the end zone line, because if it goes over their head, just let it go, right? Like that, just let the touchback happen. You don't need to ever return from 5 yards deep in the end zone. It's never good math. That might be the biggest win for the Chiefs here is they can't even
Dave Toe can't screw this up anymore.
Yes, exactly. So put your heels right in front of the goal line and be ready to actually return a kick. Yes, the like can't move until the ball's been fielded and the covering team starting much, much further downfield all looks weird. It all looks different, but you already touched on the biggest part of this. The wedge got busted by the rules committee at some point because we all looked at that and went, oh, this is like abuse to human beings. Like this is an unsafe way for our players to play in a violent sport. And then you see the rule changes again where the fair catches are introduced and you have the extra touchback and you're moving the or extra yards on the touchback, you're moving the ball. You've seen these. I saw a comment already come through. Like, didn't they just change the kickoff rules pretty recently? Yes. This is the kickoff more than anything else, I think, is maybe the most fluid of any NFL operation right now, any in-game operation, because I think what they correctly realized is we cannot have a special teamer getting put on a backboard once a game in this sport anymore because he's the wedge buster. That can't happen. So what do we do? And frankly, and I think if most people understood this, I think most people would be happy about this because the NFL is getting hit with all these like flag football allegations right now.
Yeah.
What the NFL did.
That's the second rule, by the way.
We'll get there. What the NFL did functionally in this specific case, I'm not just going to cape for the NFL 24/7. But I think they did in this case was go, okay, we made it safer. Now, can we make it fun again? We've restricted while we figure out what's going on when the neck of the 53rd guy on the roster does something it's not supposed to do. We're going to try to eliminate that from the game as much as possible. Now, how can we go back and realize, did we overdo any of this? Did we oversafe, putting that in air quotes and making it a term now, any elements of this? And so what this is going to do, again, if you haven't seen, I think Nate Tice tweeted out one of the XFL kickoff return touchdowns. I think it was the St. Louis Battlehawks, if memory serves. Like a little toss reverse with a second return man. It's fun. When's the last time you were excited for a kickoff return? Now, I do cynically think like the second thought that went through my head when I saw this rule got enforced was the NFL going, all right, cool. We can have commercial breaks in this time again because people are going to come back to watch the kickoffs. So you can't just have all that be automatic. I don't know if it's changing anything with commercials, but it is to remove the possibility of time for you to change the channel, to look away from the screen, to go do something else. Red Zone is going to show kickoffs in week one, and it's going to be sweet because we're all going to be figuring it out as we go. So the kickoff rule, by and large, I think I've seen some of the pushback. It doesn't really make sense to me because unless you want to go back 15 years, which I get, that's when I was having the most fun watching Dante Hall, right? But
sure.
If you want to go back 15 years in rules, then I guess you could prefer that to what we're going to see next year. I think this next year might be more fun, and it's definitely going to be a lot safer than that. Like, that was the XFL era in one way, and this is the XFL era in a modern sense of he hate me getting his neck broken. Now it's, oh, the XFL kind of tried this. They got good results. Now we're going to do it too as the NFL. I think it makes total sense.
I think the only concern is that it becomes gimmicky. I think that's the only concern I would have is, okay, that's great. But now we're seeing the average starting position is now on the 35-yard line instead of the 20 or the 25. Well, what's that do? The NFL wants more offense. Well, this is a way to get more offense, better field position. Let's just say, for example, you're starting at the 35-yard line. If you get 30 yards, that's a easy field goal in today's NFL. That's a 52 yarder, basically. This is definitely better for bad teams, which, as we saw last year, parity reigned. Parity made for a good product. I don't know good product in the aspect of, yeah, it was great seeing, you know, scoring up and down the field. But as far as close games, I think that rang true. Well, if the NFL wants more parity, they try to make rules that make it, well, simplified for bad offenses to try and score more points. That's one of my concerns here is the gimmicky aspect of trying to inflate scoring after, of course, 1 year of down scoring where half the NFL had backup quarterbacks. I think it was a little bit of an aggressive move. But again, overall, what you're seeing is less fair catches, more action, less injuries. I don't have a problem with this. Again, you know me as a man who's typically opposed to change. It almost feels like I'm having trouble trying to find something wrong with this outside of the potential gimmick look because we're not used to seeing it. And the fact that I do think it favors bad teams. But again, the Chiefs could get good at it too, because Dave Tobe is very aggressive. He's very unique. So maybe it does favor a team that has a great special teams head coach.
I think what it does, I think you're on to something there. Like with the scoring being down and this being a way to maybe juice scoring a tiny bit, I do think this might add more randomness to games. And I think certainly it's going to make special teams matter more. And that will be better for teams with worse offenses and worse defenses if they can have better special teams. You're not going to have a team go 9-8, I guess, with nothing but a return king. But I do think there's like something within that that makes sense. The other thing is, I think the alternative is that we're probably 3, 4, 5 years away from not having kickoffs anymore. Not just because of the safety side, but because it's a waste of time. You got guys going out there to do cardio so they can start with the ball on the 25. Like we don't need that version here.
Watching all the players run down through the end zone and start just doing jumping jacks and the high knees to really get themselves going. You don't enjoy watching that?
It's not the best part of an NFL game. You know, if I can get that damn. If I get that damn Taylor Swift off my screen so I could watch Harrison Butker kick it through the end zone. I don't know what that voice was, but that's what I'd prefer.
It's the baseball equivalent to undoing and doing your gloves out of the batter's box.
It kind of is. Yeah, it's like I know a lot of people had a problem with the pitch clock, but did anybody have a problem with the fact that Nomar Garciaparra couldn't do his whole deal in 2024? Like, I think that's probably a good thing.
I love you took my Nomar Garciaparra reference. That's a callback to a long time ago.
Somewhere, and it's earnest, because somewhere back here, I do think I have an old plastic Nomar Garciaparra bobblehead, because that was, I may have gotten rid of it because bleep the Red Sox. But that rules, other than
dude. That rules, dude. All right. As far as the actual joke that for some reason I actually have a serious potential take on.
Oh, can I hold on for 1 second so I can check out the comment section real fast?
100%.
Yeah, Patrick Allen says, I have something I'd like to say. Briscoe's beard is better than Sterling's mustache when he has it. Patrick, thank you. I don't know that I can accept that honor, because I've seen Sterling's mustache at its full peacocking glory, and it's special, but it's honestly, Patrick, it's an honor to be nominated, so thank you for saying that.
We need to do a poll. We got to do a poll on that sometime.
You bring the mustache back. I shaved my beard down quite a bit as of a couple of weeks ago, a week or two ago.
Yeah, it was 8-10, and you're like, I can do the Yankees now. I can let it grow.
it was my castaway beard, I guess. I don't know. It was the bushiest it's ever been. So I can try to go ahead and get my beard game back to that level, get some beard oil cooking, and you can grow the mustache back out. We'll have a poll next time.
My joke that's somewhat serious. Justin Reed, would he ever do kickoffs in this instant? Because you don't need someone who can just blast it through. You need somebody who can kick it like, what's that, 35, 15, 15, 45 yards? 45 to, 45 to 65 yards is what you're looking your kicker to do now. Well, Justin Reed could do that. And then the reason why I say this, that gives you another hard hitter, one of the hardest hitters on the team now. What I will say is that obviously opens up some risk, and you know, it's going to make him tired on defense. Maybe he has to sit a couple plays out early in the drive. But if there are going to be returns now on almost every single kick, if your last line of defense is Butker or Justin Reed, I'm going to want the dude that lays the wood. Again, I'm being slightly facetious here, but part of me is like,
Butker.
But part of me is kind of like, would the Chiefs ever consider this? You know what? You wouldn't do it the entire season, but let's say like it's an important kick.
Ooh, like a situational, like you're up 8 and it's just all about not, like up 8 with like 4 seconds left. It's all about not
touchdown. Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to happen, because I don't think Dave Tobe would ever let himself. Because I think my guess is that on some level, and there's still, you still can't kick it out of bounds, obviously, in the new kickoff rules. But I would just guess, with very little forethought going into this particular part of it, I'd guess that Dave Tobe and the Chiefs' entire special teams unit does some stuff with the directional element of the kicking game. If they only have one return man out there, can you try to go ahead and drop that sucker? Not quite coffin corner, because again, you need it to say inbounds, but could you move it over a little closer to the sideline for the benefit of how your coverage team is planning to attack? I don't know. I think there's going to be so much trial and error throughout this process that it's why that question is a funny one and also has some amount of intrigue, because it would make sense to have Justin Reed there if this ends up being tons and tons of returns. Lots of stuff where kickers do end up left on an island. They're obviously way behind the play, so I don't know how often, if he kicks off and then just starts chugging, is Justin Reed ever going to get there for a tackle? I don't know.
Well, now he brought back the concussions again because he's going full speed.
you have a wedge buster, but it's your kicker safety. And so I think instead of the safety kicker, I think they'll just let the kicker be the safety on those and hope to keep everything in front like that because it will be so far behind the play. But it's kind of fun, and I'm like at least a little bit interested. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be intrigued by that. And again, the pop-up kicks no longer matter. So it's not right. Like you have to really get the distance down because no one can move until the return man touches the ball. Again,
and maybe the next play is like, all right, Harrison, start working on knuckleballers. Like, figure out some. There's going to be an inefficiency in this somewhere that Dave Tobe's next like 6 months should be dedicated to finding.
Honestly. He's in a lab somewhere. Yeah. Just in a lab working on this.
It's just him and Harrison Bucker and some like sports science. Remember the sports yes. science show on ESPN? Just get those dudes all in that lab.
And then Tim Wakefield somehow is involved because they're trying to figure out the knuckleball, but now doing it with your foot. So yeah, that'd be great. I like this one from Brian. Is Sterling Holmes the godfather of Sterling Mahomes by any chance? Not that I know of, although when I did meet Patrick Mahomes, he said, I told him my name was Sterling Holmes. He did say, first off, drop or add a muh. Okay. Pretty clever, Patrick. Second one was, you know, we have a daughter named Sterling. And I have to play this off as if I don't know, as if the entire town of Kansas City does not know that they have a daughter named Sterling Mahomes. So I'm just sitting here like, oh, what are the odds of that? That's crazy. So
she ruined my life.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm the godfather there since.
It's a very good play from Patrick. It's a questionable play by you. Also, there's no way for me to get this in at a more convenient time. But rest in peace, Tim Wakefield, no longer with us.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I thought you meant it's okay.
Yeah. Do you think just one last rule change here, or one last before we go to the next rule change? Do you think we'll see more running backs versus wide receivers? Because that's my thought process here, as far as like the top end speed. I know everyone keeps saying Kadarius Toney back there, but you're not really getting up to top speed because you have to follow your blockers. It's more of that 75%, more of the vision. I think that matters way more in this instance. I don't know your thoughts here, but when everyone said Kadarius Toney, this is meant for him, I'm like, I really don't think it is.
I think there's a lot of traffic there, so I do think that Kadarius Toney, I can't quit him, you know this. Like, I have a Kadarius Toney problem because I am like over him in the offense, but now it's like, well, but if he's back there just to return the kicks, I think having the breakaway speed to get through whatever hole you're going to find is probably the biggest thing. The other funny part of it is like, I love Isaiah Pacheco, but if you say like, yeah, you need a running back with vision to be returning kicks, I'd be like, okay, well, the Chiefs don't currently have one of those. Like, that's not really Pacheco's game right now. And that on it, to be fair, could and likely should improve as his career continues going. I think he looked more patient this year. So it's in steps, but I think speed is still going to end up being probably the biggest factor, even though there would be a little bit, I guess, a little more predictability, a little more homogeny in the blocking you're expecting from your kickoff team, because, or your kick return team in this case, because it is just like line up 10 times across the whatever yardage line they start at now. So I bet we could see some, again, like ways of trying to get ahead of the rules, get ahead of the curve a little bit and make the most of your personnel.
Before we talk about the next rule, if you've not downloaded the FanDuel app yet, you want to take advantage of this new offer. New users who sign up through our link must deposit $10 and place a first wager of $5 on any live bet. If that first bet wins, you'll receive $200 in bonus bets straight to your account. This offer is only available if you sign up through our link, bit.ly/arrow200. You can find that link in the description below our stream, as well as scan the QR code on screen to start signing up. Again, the link is bit.ly/arrow200. Offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly and check the episode description for the full terms and link of the offer. If you want to bet on March Madness, that's the way I would recommend using that. I always do
that happening?
When teams get down, that's when I kind of throw that live bet on. You know, when teams get like 15, because it's a game of runs, so when a team gets down 15, I always go, well, they're going to at least come back and cover. You know, they're not going to keep on this run typically, and that's how I keep losing money. All right, so the next rule, the one I hate, the one that makes me seem like an old man, but yet I think the majority of people agree with me, not just fans, but it seems like players as well. And that right there is the hip drop tackle. Now, the reason why I have such an issue with the hip drop tackle is not necessarily the letter of the law itself. The reason why I have such an issue with it is how it is going to be enforced. What you're doing now is giving referees even more control over the outcome of the game. And we're not talking about something that's easy to enforce. We're not talking about a call that you're going to sit here and go, yes, this happened, or no, this did not. We're talking about something that takes three different factors before it should be called. But now, let's be real. Do we think that all three of these factors are going to actually occur? No. We know the first few weeks of the season, we'll see someone drag a dude down by the hip, won't land on his legs, and what are we going to see? Well, it would have been fourth and four. Well, there's a flag. Now it's a first down. This is why I hate this rule. This is the reason why I hate the hip drop tackle. You can no longer go for the head, which, guess what? I'm with you. You shouldn't be allowed to go head to head. Okay? It's like 90s basketball. I love 90s basketball, but when people are like, yeah, I know Bill Laimbeer was great because he would throw elbows at guys. It's like, that's not basketball. That's MMA. Like, that has nothing to do with the actual flow of the game. I love 90s basketball. I thoroughly enjoyed watching that.
What year were you born?
94. Okay. NBA classic on TV. Come on, big Pistons guy.
This is Sterling and I are the same age, and that right there is just some of the most Sterling stuff in the world, and it's absolutely beautiful. Don't ever change.
Kevin McHale was awesome, but like, and he was great offensively too. A lot of up and unders, you know, all that stuff is awesome. But I think 80s and 90s basketball, it changed. It went from the physicality, and we go, okay, that's great, but that's not really basketball to the same extent of skill level. That's more of a brawl. If you like that, that's fine. But the NFL with the helmet-to-helmet hits was saying, all right, is this really in the spirit of football or of trying to injure a player? Is this trying to take a guy out? And so they said, hey, we can't do that anymore. I agree with that. Hip drop tackle, though, I don't think anyone is trying to actually injure someone when they do this. I don't think they were trying to injure Mark Andrews. I think they were trying to keep him from going to the end zone or getting a first down. You're a 260-pound, 6'5 tight end trying to pick up extra yards. You do everything you possibly can to bring him down. I love people on Twitter like, get better. What, defy the laws of physics? Like, I just find this questionable. You're making it so hard on defenses to begin with. This specific hip drop tackle is so rare, in my opinion. Did it really need its own rule? It's another thing for defenders to think about just to try and inflate scoring because, yet again, after 1 year, the defense finally starting to get ahead. The NFL said, no way.
I think that probably the only part of that that I would slightly disagree with is the dismount of, I don't, here's, and not because it wouldn't help offensive scoring. It's that I think the NFL is going to hope this rule gets called as sparingly as humanly possible, because I think that the reaction is so predictable. You just predicted it. You just wrote it for us. It's what's going to happen. Now, it seems like they have largely eliminated the hip drop tackle out of rugby, a sport where you do have much smaller dudes tackling much bigger dudes. It's not that it's impossible. It's that litigating this is going to be such a mother bleeper that everyone knows it's going to be a problem. Again, with the head injuries, with the head to helmet to helmet contact stuff, partially it's, are you trying to injure or are you playing the sport? And part of it is the damage done here is so overwhelmingly obvious. Again, we have to do everything we can as a sport to eliminate concussions as much as possible, because this is a real actual threat to the future of the sport. I do think there's a little bit of, trying to choose my words somewhat carefully, I think there's a little bit of a manufactured hip drop tackle issue basically since Mark Andrews. And listen, it's all love for Mark Andrews here. Diabetes number one in my heart forever. Sorry, Noah Gray, type one, but he's number two still. I love Mark Andrews. Do you need me to explain that for you, Steve?
No, that was great. That was just phenomenal.
Type one, but Mark Andrews is 1-1. I do fear that it's going to be a story when it shouldn't be. And frankly, I'm concerned that it's just going to be a story, period. My hope, and the one way that I think all of our shared concern, again, I'm by and large very there with you with your concern. My hope is that this is something that is only actually penalized in the most obvious of circumstances, And that maybe it's even something where guys get fined more often than they get flagged if it's a repeated thing. So if you say, hey, we didn't see this in real time, but the NFL went back and looked after the fact, and they use an example of Justin Reed in the like bad example tape. Say, hey, Justin Reed had a tackle here that actually did meet the terms for being penalized, but we missed it. Hopefully the refs are going to go light with that as opposed to going heavy early on there. Sometimes you'll see them do the opposite, though, where you'll see them with all the points of emphasis and the false starts and illegal formations and all of that. You guys remember those? Where it's, hey, weeks 1 through 4, you call everything you see. Then weeks 5 through 8, you just bring it down a little bit. 8 through 12, we're just calling it here and there. By the time the playoffs arrive, we forgot that was a rule. Like that is by and large how the NFL does stuff like that. Like somebody mentioned roughing the passer and things like that. Those are also in those environments where I would rather see them. I would rather have the benefit of the doubt given to the defender of this. Yes. This may have been 2 out of 3 things here, but unless you wrap up a dude around the torso and then jump around with your legs and just wrap yourself around him to land on his lower leg in a way to try to snap that sucker in half, I would hope that it won't get called outside of those most like extreme and obvious circumstances. Again, getting that out of the game would be good for the game. Penalizing players for that in real time when you've got 60-year-old dudes out there at eye level with no slow-mo deciding if they're going to throw their tissue or not, that is a very difficult spot to be in that I am certainly concerned about.
When it comes down to it, I know the NFL wants to make the game safer. I know the players want to make the game safer, but I think the majority of the players, if not all, understand that football, there's an inherent risk.
Yeah, but nobody, I think that's a little bit of a straw man because no one's ever arguing the opposite. No one's ever saying there's no inherent risk.
But I think this rule is a step that's, again, I'm not talking about helmet to helmet, but this specific one is starting to get into the way of, all right, now this is getting pretty over the top. Like,
right. If you just tackle a guy by his ankles and then your shoulder, the chest of your shoulder pads lands on his ankle in a way that now his ankle is sprained off of that, there's nothing the defender could have done in that circumstance. There's nothing they should be penalized for. Sure.
Yeah. And that's the way I feel. I just think it's a slippery slope here, giving referees yet again more and more control. We talked about roughing the passer, how that's already subjective. And again, I don't always blame the refs. I think it's a very hard job. Like, I don't think they're always great at their job, but I think it's a very hard job. The fact that they don't have help overhead all the time saying, hey, man, that only was actually 2 of the 3, pick the flag up, blows my mind. The fact that they are just out there spotting the ball willy-nilly, you can't put a chip in there. Top Golf can put thousands of chips in thousands of golf balls and charge you like $30 an hour. And yet somehow the NFL, a billion-dollar organization, decides, you know what? Now let's not do that. Like, that to me is what's crazy. Here are the actual rules by the letter of the law. Grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. Yet again, those are all ands, but I don't see it being called as ands because we have seen in the past what refs do. A lot of times it's the ors. The ors are what drives me insane when the letter of the law literally says and.
I think ors don't really drive. They're more for paddling.
That was, I missed you so much, Briscoe.
I could feel like you needed something. It got really serious in there for a while. And it felt like it was time for a pun.
Yeah. Well, no, you know, I feel passionate about this. Again, I'm not always opposed to change and who knows, maybe this ends up being a non-issue, as you said, and maybe we see two times a year on the most obvious ones. Just, I think anyone who watches the NFL understands that's not the way it goes. That's not the way the NFL operates. You're right. The first 4 games of the season, we'll probably see it called way more than we should on plays that are not the hip drop tackle. I start to feel very bad for defenders because I love how rugby always shows that the people are trying to get you on your side of how this is a good thing. Well, they show you the 4 that the small guy takes and the big guy with a non-hip drop, but show me the thousands of other plays throughout the season where, yeah, the guy carries you for 12 yards because you couldn't bring this guy down. Don't show me the only ones that work. Show me the totality of the plays. I just find...
Also, I don't mind when like a running back or a tight end carries a defensive back. I think that's kind of fun. So like some of that, you know, is just going to be, it's just going to be part of the way it goes. If you have a DB that can't turn their body into a wrecking ball to try to get Travis Kelce down, that might be for the best. I don't know.
And no, I don't think this is to fix it, especially not against the Chiefs. Come on now. The Chiefs just won the Super Bowl.
You're going to see that from literally every angle. You're going to get the opposite of that. If there are Chiefs fans concerned about how this is going to be used to hurt the Chiefs, buddy, don't look at Twitter.
Don't look at the Falcons, the Panthers, the don't look at any other team. If the NFL was trying to be to fix it against the Chiefs, well, they did a poor job considering they just won, 3-5. But no, I don't think it's going to be fixed, but it's going to be one where I do think people will start hearing more cries of fixed because of bad calls from referees who, quite frankly, are in over their head.
Okay. We've been on the same page on the Sky Judge thing for a million years. And I can't believe that the NFL hasn't done that yet.
All right. I'm done talking about negativity. Let's talk about, I guess L'Jarius Sneed.
I was going to say, I feel like we hadn't talked about Sneed yet. It was in the title, so.
Yeah. My quick thoughts before I get to you, Briska, this is what I thought. I tried telling everyone, I know they're not getting a first. I didn't think they're getting a second. I said, most likely it's a third and some. I wasn't trying to be negative. I wasn't trying to.
You weren't negative enough.
I wasn't trying to say that L'Jarius Sneed isn't a stud cornerback, but you and I typically are on the same page if you don't pay debit and credit for a player. Jalen Ramsey got traded for a third from the Rams to Miami. He is 27. He has knee injuries, L'Jarius Sneed, and at least the medical concerns, and he wanted to become one of the highest paid corners in the NFL. Well, the team's now all of a sudden saying, all right, yeah, let's give you a couple firsts for that. No, you have to turn around and pay the guy. It just, and then also teams knew the Chiefs were not going to pay L'Jarius that amount, so it drove the market down, I think, just a little bit when the team that controls L'Jarius is like, hey, we know you're not going to pay him. What are you going to do? Keep him for 1 year? Here's a little something extra. Here's a little bit more than a compensatory pick. So that's the way it went down. Just, I think people always value their players more than the reality of the NFL values their players.
You also were disappointed by a future third, right?
Oh, I would have kept him for that. I said this is what it's probably going to be, but I said I would have kept him for a third.
I was in on a late second, and I was even in on the, it's one of the reasons the Titans didn't make sense at one point earlier in free agency was that they didn't have a third round pick this year. And so if you're gonna say, well, it's maybe this year's third and next year's fourth or fifth, or it's this year's second and the Chiefs send back a sixth, there were ways this could have felt okay. This feels bad. I don't think that's the same thing as this being bad. So here's my kind of like processing through it. I tweeted it on, and they did it at freaking 10 p.m. on a Friday night. They can't do anything at normal hours. But I pulled up my tweet because I felt okay about it. I wanted to revisit it now and see if it's still true. I said, I think it's totally reasonable to understand how the Chiefs and Sneed got to this point and why the Chiefs made the trade while also being disappointed with an underwhelming return for a tremendous football player. I think it's reasonable because it's how I feel. And I'm still there. Like this is absolutely a disappointing end to L'Jarius Sneed's time in Kansas City. This is less than his value. We can acknowledge that in terms of what he brings as a player. They drafted him in the fourth round and basically just got a fourth round pick back for him. You ding it by a round for it being a future year, just some like back of napkin math. They essentially got the L'Jarius Sneed pick back for drafting him when we all acknowledge like, wow, what an unbelievable success story to find a gem in the useless fourth round like that. And again, it'll be in the third and hopefully it's a high third and that'll be great. But that to me is all deeply frustrating because again, it's dissatisfying. Now you could ask, so what should you have done differently? You just touched on the fact that, yeah, the entire NFL knew that the Chiefs weren't going to bring him back. And apparently they knew they weren't even going to bring him back on the tag. There was some reporting out about how the Chiefs were always like down to keep him on the franchise tag, and that never bothered him. That seems no longer true. I don't know if you lost me. My home to minimize the thing. Am I still me, Stu? Are you still cooking?
I still have you. You sound you froze a little bit, and you're good now. You froze for a second. You're back now. You actually look better because
Richard sent a super chat over here and it popped up. Oh, good. Richard sent the super chat and I was trying to minimize that. And then I minimized it and everything froze. And so I'm just not going to touch it anymore. But again, I think
you're on your 1994 Dell laptop.
This is like a desktop tower and everything. I don't know why this keeps happening. I don't know. This has been a problem for like weeks now. It's not a gateway. It's not a ThinkPad either. It's got LEDs in the tower and everything. I thought I installed more RAM myself. I don't know why it's a problem. But it's a disappointing return. It's a disappointing end to the L'Jarius Sneed story in Kansas City. I also understand that the Chiefs were from the jump being like, we're not going to keep this guy. What will you give us for him? He'll need a lot of money after you trade for him as well, by the way. And then that lowered and lowered and lowered the price. So I think you can reasonably say the Chiefs did not handle this situation in the best way possible, because this result is not the best result possible, but you can understand how they ended up here as well.
Yeah, it's what it comes down to is basically what Raymond said. Thanks for the super chat, Raymond. Always appreciate it. It says a player is worth what the market will pay. That
kinda,
is what it comes down to.
Kinda. Well, I only partially agree. A player is worth what you can convince the rest of the league they should pay. Guys get traded for way too much all the time.
Sure.
Russell Wilson got traded for a lot more than he should have, and then got paid a lot more than he should have. You know what I mean?
But
Justin Fields got less than he probably should have.
Yes, again, Justin Fields got way less. I said a year ago they should have drafted C.J. Stroud and traded him while his market still had something. Oh, who would have got that one right? Don't bring up all the ones I've gotten wrong. Just talk about the ones I've gotten right. That's kind of the Sterling Holmes method. But like Russell Wilson, quarterback who had won a Super Bowl, he was going to get traded and paid a lot. A lot of the edge rushers, right? Like everyone brings up Frank Clark, but Frank Clark was an edge rusher. It's a much more premium position than cornerback, especially a position where you don't age as gracefully. Well, you're already 27 with knee medical concerns. Again, I try to tell folks,
but the Panthers was what was Brian Burns actually worth? Because what the Panthers traded Brian Burns for is less than they could have gotten by trading him a year earlier. You know what I mean? So like,
agreed.
I do think there's an ebb and flow of that, where that responsibility does get shared some.
And I would have kept L'Jarius Sneed again, as I said earlier. I would have kept him for a third. I think you're getting probably the last great year of L'Jarius Sneed. You look at a lot of cornerbacks, once they hit age 29, oh boy.
He also missed like all of last offseason with a knee issue. Like, we don't talk about it the same way, but he and Kadarius Toney like didn't attend camp, essentially.
Yeah.
He featured up a few days, I think, if memory serves.
And again, I don't know what they're going to do with this money now. You know, you get 19.8 mil. Obviously, Mike Dana, you know, Nick Allegretti's gone. You know, some wide receivers, if you still want to bring in a different veteran. Again, I like Jacob says, how do we trust Brett Veach and staff?
My name is on the screen. If you can't spell it right, maybe don't talk bleep. Maybe don't talk bleep until you learn how to spell Jacob. How about that? I don't know who Jacob Allen is. So Jacob, I'm sorry if I'm putting you on blast. Can I ask you a question, Sterling?
Yeah, I'd love to.
If all you want to do is say that Brett Veach has done everything perfectly forever, what is the point of listening to podcasts? What
None.
Is the point of reading coverage? What is the point of you sharing your thoughts? Because I could say, hey, why don't you let us, the professional talkie talkers, talk about this all day, and you leave the comments to yourself. But I don't want to do that because I don't want to be a bleep about it.
I would agree.
I don't understand. That mindset, it's all over social media all the time now, and it drives me crazy. Yes, the Chiefs just won back-to-back Super Bowls. It's why I didn't say that Brett Veach is an idiot because he didn't get more for L'Jarius Sneed. I said it is a disappointing end to the L'Jarius Sneed saga, because getting more in return would have felt better for the job the team and Sneed did throughout that progression. If that's an invalid criticism, it's all invalid. No, there is nothing. Jacob says, well, you're bad at this, LOL. I'm your Brett Veach, baby. You don't get to tell me that. Like, that's it's just a weird way of viewing all of this. What's the point? Well, everything the Chiefs have ever done, including drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, has been perfect, and it's the only reason they won a Super Bowl, and they've made no mistakes along the way. Can I get a super chat for that? $5?
It's a very weird attitude to me. I do think it's a little, again, because then why would you listen to any coverage if it's always everything he does is correct? I think he's the
always
best.
Always has to be five stars.
Well, no, I think he's the best GM in football. I think there's no doubting that he's the best GM in football. But also at some point, you just sit here and go, well, not every GM gets every single thing right. If you're hitting, 70%? You're doing a damn good job.
Brett Veach isn't excited about the future third they got back for one of the top five corners in football last year. You think Veach is happy about that? No, of course not. This isn't how they wanted it to go. They were trying to get a second because that would have been nice.
I mean, I'm with you. I could not agree more. I think we have to have Brett Veach. Thank you, Raymond.
Brett Veach nailed the receiver room last year. That whole offseason of Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney being wide receiver one and wide receiver two, that's the reason they won the Super Bowl.
If you want to hear one of my misses, is I said he actually had a good game plan last year with the wide receiver room. I just didn't have the execution. There's one of my misses.
Nobody's perfect, including Brett Veach.
Well, you know, he could be Harry Roseman who wins the offseason every single year instead of, you know, actually winning Lombardi's.
Offseason champion. Yeah, sure. You can decide. And yeah. Howie Roseman gets critiqued and everybody gets critiqued. If you've ever disagreed with an Andy Reid play call, you can't say, just trust them. They've been fine.
Yeah.
If you've ever thought that Andy Reid got too cute on fourth down or in the red zone, you have failed your own test.
All right, let's go to this or that because Briscoe's getting angry. He's getting red over there, and I feel bad.
I feel fine. It's rare that I get to address what I think is one of the dumbest ways to approach sports media in real time, and it just showed up, and I couldn't help myself.
I like Kyle. His excellence is learning from mistakes. Brett Veach's excellence is learning from mistakes. Kind of dig it, Kyle. All right, this or that. Joshua Williams or Jalen Watson steps up to claim that cornerback spot that is left by the trade of L'Jarius.
Sorry, I don't have the music stinger, and this or that didn't even really register.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, so everyone who's listening, Briscoe and I used to do a thing when we both worked at 810, and he left me, and we had a song that would play a bumper in the background, but I think YouTube would flag that, and we would get in trouble, so we can't do that.
Okay, I'm in.
So, all right, this or that. Joshua, you know, like the song that the gerbils would play or the hamsters would play in the Kia Soul commercials? That was the song.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah. Joshua Williams or Jalen Watson steps up to claim that cornerback spot left by the L'Jarius Sneed trade.
I think it's probably Joshua Williams. He was the higher draft pedigree, the measurables and all of that. But there will be some other draft pick that ends up playing like 60% of the snaps by week 18.
Did the Chiefs trade up, back, or stay put in the first round?
I think they probably end up having to stay put. I'm sure Veach would like to move up. That third rounder next year isn't a great, great value for like a movable chip. And I don't think it makes sense where the roster construction's at right now. I want them to have more picks, not fewer. But moving back is hard because you need someone who wants to trade to 32 right before the day ends. So I'm going to say they probably just make their pick at 32 like last year.
Yeah, I'm with you. Because if they couldn't trade when Will Levis, a quarterback who has a fifth-year option, and they still couldn't trade back last year, I don't see it happening this year.
Maybe there is a blue chip player they move up for. I would never will rule that out. I'm worried about the cost.
All right, right. Good question here from Lev. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I think it's a good one. Nazi Johnson, where do you see Nazi Johnson play next year? Cornerback, safety, or is he even on the team?
I think there's a pretty good shot. I think he's going to end up kind of in that bucket of guys where like Echo Boydo ended up actually like being on this roster down the stretch. Where I think there's going to be like five of those dudes where two of them end up being on the roster and probably one of them ends up playing very good.
Jamari Connor, safety or corner?
I hope that they just stick with him at safety. I'm a little bit nervous. Nate Taylor mentioned that right after the Sneed trade on the KCSN breaking news team we did. And it made me immediately start second guessing what the Chiefs' plan there would be because Mike Edwards is a Buffalo Bill now. They brought Deion Bush back, which is fine, but he was on the practice squad all last year. So he's not like the third safety. You have Brian Cook coming off injury, Justin Reed, and Jamari Connor. That trio is a hell of a starting three. And if you lose one of those guys for a little bit, Deion Bush could probably jump in. But Mike Edwards played a lot and played very well. I think they could maybe end up addressing safety later in the draft again this year and try to get a similar skill set. But I don't think it makes sense to borrow from safety to try to bolster corner, even though if he can just be the versatile type of player that we've seen him be at times, he could totally end up covering guys out of the slot at some point. But that versatility kind of starts from the safety position in the way that I'm looking at Spags looking at.
Yeah, and I agree. I was a little perplexed when people say he's a cornerback or even just like a nickel corner almost exclusively. I think you don't want to take away from one of your strengths, which is the safety position.
And they played so much three safety stuff late last year.
And Trent McDuffie was an all-pro slot corner last year. I don't know if he's going to be predominantly an outside guy. I know the size, maybe he can be, but if if he's an all-pro slot and maybe he's just an above average outside, why would you take him away from where he's an all-pro at? Find someone to play on the outside so you can still have your lockdown dude going up against slot receivers. That's the way I view that. Wide receiver or any other position being taken by the Chiefs in the first round, which way are you going?
Predictive or what I want to happen?
Let's do a predictive first.
I'll take the field. I think there's, it seems like there's a decent possibility of there being a left tackle at that spot. Maybe they wait to sign Donovan Smith until after the draft. So you find out, is it either going to be King from BYU, whose last name I've screwed up multiple times already? I'll learn it if they draft, I promise. And let him and Wanya Morris compete for left tackle and hope one of those guys takes that job for a long time. And I mean, you're hoping it's your first rounder in that spot. But or if you don't go tackle in the first round, then you sign Donovan Smith and it's just him and Wanya for another year, which I think is totally fine. That doesn't bother me at all. The other thing, I don't know if you've got like a positional need ranking or anything you want me to do, but I am way more alarmed about the state of this defensive end group than I think most people are. So I think they could go DE at 32 back to back years if there's a guy there they like.
You mean back to back to back years?
I said 32, but
I guess, yeah, first rounder.
One?
Yeah, first rounder.
But holy, you're right. I didn't think a first round in the 30s back. Ugh.
Well, and actually, wasn't FAU technically a 31st because the Dolphins didn't have a pick for tampering with Tom Brady?
Is that right? I believe you. I'll take your word for it. Yeah. First round defensive end back to back to back years, I think, is very much on the table.
And guess what?
Frankly, should be.
Every time the Chiefs take a defensive end in the first round, what happens?
An angel gets its wings.
And they win a Super Bowl. Oh, yeah. I would say defensive tackle for me would be lovely. If Tavondre Sweat's there, I will keep screaming from the mountaintops my love.
The only position group that is full right now is defensive tackle. It's the only one they have eight dudes on.
Yeah, with not great guys. Chris Jones, elite. And then it's like, oh, yeah, Mike Pinnell was great for a game. Again, I love Mike Pinnell, but
he's probably not your long-term play. I think that's fair, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Do you miss working with me yet?
I don't know if we ever really worked together. I miss talking to you on a semi-regular basis. Absolutely.
Okay. You only get one for the rest of your life: music or movies.
I really love several specific movies, but music is too pervasive, so I take music.
Tony or Sky, better chance of making the roster next year?
Of making the roster, Sky Moore.
Rice plays more slot or more on the outside next season?
Probably more slot.
You're still with them there, huh?
It's not. You didn't ask what I want to happen. I think it's gonna be another year of progressions for Rashee Rice. And I think Hollywood ends up allowing them some more flexibility. But obviously, Travis Kelce lives in the slot pretty frequently. It's a weird group, dude. It's a weird group still. That's what you get after the draft.
One hit with a Razor scooter in the shin or step on a Lego once a month for a year, and you don't know when the Lego's going to be there.
Oh, let's just get it out. Let's get it out of the way then. Bring that Razor scooter on over. My shins are built for this in the teens.
All right. Well, one of my questions was, does FAU change the narrative this upcoming season? But it sounds like you say no.
I don't know what is the narrative. There are two narratives. One narrative is that he's never going to play football again. And the other narrative is that he's Lawrence Taylor. And so I would say that.
No, who's ever said he's Lawrence Taylor?
Don't tweet about Felix with K-State fans within striking distance, dude. It sucks. My concern is that he basically had a redshirt year, as did BJ Thompson. The thing that bothers me is the idea that like a great TFL in the Super Bowl is like, all right, FAU starting opposite Karlaftis, no big deal. And I'm assuming right now that, I mean, listen, Charles Omenihu seems like he is ready to go, but I'm assuming he's not going to be ready at the beginning of the year just because of the timeline of that injury. It would make a lot of sense from the start of the year on the PUP list. I think that FAU's test begins next year, which is fine, but I don't want to rely on that. He's my Sky Moore this year. Let's not do this. Let's not say he's DE2. Let's say he's DE3 or 4. And then what is he as a rotational pass rusher? He was not a rotational guy. He wasn't a part-time guy last year. Last year, he was like learning in practice and looking big on the sidelines. And that's fine because their rotation ended up being solid. If they bring back Mike Dana and they draft a second-round defensive end who's maybe a little more pro-ready, who isn't going to be the explosive guy that they hoped Felix would evolve into. You can make a good room out of that. I'm not out on Felix, but I'm not putting all of the chips on him starting week one. And I don't think the Chiefs are going to either.
You did see that tackle for loss though, right?
Yeah, you speak on a taco for loss? Because that rules.
All right, finally, before I let you go, with a letter, grade the Chiefs' offseason so far.
I mean, it is an incomplete, because it is incomplete. They suddenly have, let me lead into it, man. It is incomplete. So it's getting an incomplete because they now have $20 million in cap space that isn't getting used right now. I'm going to assume that that gets used on a veteran defensive end. Maybe it's Mike Dana. Maybe it's Emmanuel Ogba. But somebody in that mold, and then probably a veteran left tackle if they end up not drafting a guy, and maybe they even make that call before the draft comes around. And then I think it's like a B. They kept Chris Jones. I was going to say B minus, but like keeping Chris Jones on this team should count for something. They paid Drew Tranquil a lot of money, but that happened so long ago that you kind of forget about it. Glad he's back. So I think it's probably been a B. They have a couple of really major issues still. They got a receiver that fits the mold, and they kept Chris Jones. So I'm in the B territory right now, I think.
Yeah, I'm firmly in the B. I think Chris Jones was the biggest free agent out there that the Chiefs brought back, right? Whether your thoughts are he's a free agent or not, I mean, he could have been traded. He could have signed
up. If he was a Raider for 1 year last year and hit free agency and the Chiefs signed him to this deal, we'd be like, holy bleep, they got Chris Jones.
Yeah, so that to me was the biggest deal. Obviously, Legarius is sad, but Hollywood Brown, for the deal he came in on, makes me very excited. I was not a huge Hollywood Brown guy, but then I see the contract. I go, oh yeah, baby, give me a jersey.
I think it was the best value at wide receiver this free agency period. So we're clear about me giving Brett Veach some credit.
And it sounds like, you know, he has a casino already named after him.
Are you pointing at something over your shoulder?
Yeah, Hollywood Casino.
Is it on your wall? Is that? I thought those were all drum heads.
Those are all drum heads. Don't question.
I was looking at the drum head to figure out what does that have to do with it. I don't know anything about the Brown Casino.
I'm.
The Marquise Casino? I don't.
On that note, Josh Briscoe, only weird games over there on KCSN. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, JB Briscoe. No E.
No E. How about that? No E. Learn to spell.
E.
Brett Veach is perfect.
Briscoe,
I admit you.
Oh, dude. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. Until next time, we'll be back here tomorrow with Adam Best. Matt Connor will be back next Tuesday as well. So until then, we are out.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.